Amen, and you can be seated. And take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. And chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12, lesson 25 is what we're on right now. We do have lesson 26 available. Does anyone need either of those lessons, 25 or 26? Raise your hand if you need that. Right up here, Brother Hobson, the Bowmans, over here to my left. Anyone else? 25 or 26? What do you need, Dale?
26.
All right, I think Brother Collins has those. In lesson 25, the aggression of the dragon, we are talking about the appearance of seven key characters, and one of those characters, and he is a character, is the dragon, the aggression of the dragon. And then we'll look probably next week at lesson 26, the arrival of the child. The child, of course, being one of the seven key characters. And again, I remind you that this is not a chronological order that God gives us this. He just gives us information about these characters who are present throughout the tribulation, as far as subjects that we talk about in the during the tribulation time, and so we're not trying to nail down any certain times or anything like that with this. We're just identifying these characters within the Bible, key characters as far as the revelation is concerned. So our memory verse for lesson 25 is Revelation 12:9. And let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and the reference, and begin. Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Revelation 12:9. And again. Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Revelation 12:9. We thank you so much, Father, for the word of God, and we not only can see what has happened, but we can know what's going to happen. And we look forward to what's going to happen. And certainly this verse is a blessed verse. And we know who wins this battle. And we thank you so much that we are more than conquerors in the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless now and speak to our hearts. Teach us from your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We started with Roman numeral 1, the wonder of the dragon. And spent some time there. We went to Roman numeral 2, the war with the dragon, Revelation 12, 7 to 11. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And this spiritual war has been going on since Satan's rebellion, and this warfare has been going on. It is an invisible warfare. It is fighting. It is angels fighting demons, and it goes on as I speak. It goes on all around us. And somebody said, "Boy, I wish I could see that." You probably are very glad that you don't see it, but we do know that it is going on. And Job, of course, is a good book to understand how Satan was able and God had allowed him to come to heaven and to accuse, and he's been allowed to accuse the brethren, and in fact God is the one that instigates that confrontation in reference to Job by saying, consider my servant Job. And as I will explain to our teenagers, and I have explained before, God does not tempt us, but God does allow us to be tempted. And with God, it is not a temptation to sin, it's a test. God knows that we can pass the test. That's very clear in Scripture. Any test that we take, therefore any temptation that we that is brought into our lives, it goes past God's approval or disapproval. God can stamp approved or he can stamp disapproved, and it will not come into our lives. Therefore, no Christian can ever say, I just can't do right. You can't say that because you can pass the test. All of us can. God always makes a way to escape that we're able to bear it. And so so Satan has been doing this for years, and he accuses, you know, he tempts us, and if we fail, he accuses us, and he's always accurate. That's the one time he tells the truth. He doesn't have to lie about our sin, you know, because we fail. And but the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, has paid the price, and the judge has ruled. And we pointed this out, Zechariah 3, 1 and 2. And, you know, Satan always loses in his accusation of us. He always loses because the judge has ruled. There is therefore now no condemnation. We're not condemned. We're not guilty. We're because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So so this has been going on, and this battle is going to demons, angels, all around us. We talk often about, why wasn't I able to do this? My car broke down. Why did my car break down? Well, it could be because there was a semi that was going to go out of control and it would have plowed right over. I mean, who knows? There's just this battle that goes on, and demonic influence. You're driving and you're falling asleep. And sometimes in my mind, I think, you know, there's a demonic in. Now, I know our bodies just get tired. Understand that. And I'm not trying to glamorize everything. But in my mind, I sometimes think, you know, it starts to rain. And so the wiper blades make me more tired, you know. Or the sun is in my eyes and I'm squinting. And, you know, when you squint, you're almost asleep. I mean, I often think, you know, Satan, the demons are doing this, and I think of the angels, you know, they're trying, you know, wake up, what's wrong with you, you know, and this battle that goes on, and so you know, God has allowed that. You know, we often think it just seems like God would just, well, he's going to, it is going to happen, but. So anyway, the Bible here talks about during the tribulation, and I believe the middle of the tribulation, this comes to a head in heaven, and Satan is cast out. Now, again, that means he will not have the access that he has had. And literally, this battle goes on. There's war, verse 7, Michael and his angels. And verse 8, and they prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven, and the great dragon was cast out. Again, that could happen any time. That is not just a strategic, oh, we finally won the victory. No, that could happen at any time. God has chosen that it would happen here. Again, I believe this is in the middle of the tribulation, but again, that is all speculation. And that causes, obviously, in verse 12, it says, therefore, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Rejoice, the devil is cast out. And why would there be rejoicing? Well, because the devil's nasty. And wherever he is the opposite. He is the anti of God. And, you know, God is love, Satan is hate. When you find hate, now again, I'm not talking about hating sin, I'm not talking about hating wickedness, and I'm talking about where you find hatred of God's people, for example, and godliness. Oh, you're going to find Satan right there in the middle. Right there in the middle. You know, I've had people say, well, you know, when I see one of those Berean Baptist buses, it makes me so mad. I hate the, you know, it's like, Wow, you're going to find Satan right in the middle of that. Yeah, he's going to be right in the middle of that. And so, again, you know, heaven rejoices. Do you understand one of the great things about heaven? The greatest thing, obviously, is Jesus is there. But another wonderful thing is the devil's not. Oh, he's so nasty, and his presence is so bad. God is light, and Satan is darkness. You know, God is truth, and Satan is lies. One of the most frustrating things in all the world is dealing with lies. Wouldn't you agree? Satan is, he's the father of lies. And it is one of the most frustrating things. You know, how do you deal with all the lies? And it is very, very frustrating. I know in our world today, as Americans, there is more lying going on. Well, I suppose it's always gone on. But it becomes so frustrating. These people, I mean, they'll look into a camera and just lie. And just bold-faced lie. And you say, yeah, but I got proof. But nobody wants to hear the proof. And so many won't pay attention to the proof. So many won't pay attention to the truth. And so, you know, God is truth. Satan is lie. Can you imagine heaven where there's no lying? Can you imagine Brother Harnden going out to the mailbox in heaven and never having to worry about anything in the mailbox that contains any lies at all? Wouldn't that be great? To get your newspaper, the Heavenly Times, you know, and you don't have to worry about there being any lies in it. It's all going to be truth. Everything's truth. And what a blessing. And heaven's rejoicing because the devil is cast out. God is joy. Satan is misery. Absolute misery. You know, wherever there's Satanism, it's darkness, it's misery, it's black. Cemeteries, it's death. There's just nothing joyful about it at all. There's nothing happy about it at all. And so he who said, I will ascend to heaven, I will, the Bible says he's cast down. Cast down. By the way, Jesus talked about this. Look at Luke 10. Verse 18, you might just mark these verses near this passage, Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, if you write in your Bible, which you can. Luke 10 and verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He talks about it also in John 12 and verse 31. John 12 and verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And then John 16 and verse 11, it is going to happen, it is going to take place of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I mean, it's just, these are steps toward the lake of fire for Satan. These are, again, you know, it's he's going to be cast out. Don't think just because everything looks gloomy around, don't think that we're not going to win, because we are. We are more than conquerors. And so the war with the dragon, you know, you all these years that it's been going on. And again, folks, I don't have to remind you that we sing victory in Jesus because there is victory in Jesus. I'm not just looking for that day. I'm not just looking for the rapture to take place. Every day there's victory in Jesus. Do you understand, as you go through the day, you can have victory in Jesus? Oh, you say, but I fail, I mess up. But it doesn't have to end as failure and messing up. It can end with getting right and going on and doing right. And it should end that way. I mean, we do fail, and we do mess up. But it never has to end that way, praise the Lord. And so, you know, the war with the dragon, to me, is as I read this, and obviously, you know, I do kind of think about timelines and all that kind of stuff, but in reality, in a practical sense, I look at this, you know, there is always victory in Jesus. And the victory on the big scale is definitely going to happen. But you know what? In your life, which maybe in a worldwide sense, it's a little scale, that's good enough for me. Every day there's victory in Jesus. Don't ever get the idea that, it's one of these days. No, it can be tomorrow. It can be today. You can have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. The war with the dragon, it's going on as I speak. Number three is the woe from the dragon. And everywhere he goes, he brings the woes. Amen? I mean, he just does, always. Revelation 12 and verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Woe. Wherever he is, there is woe. Wherever his influence, it's woe. No doubt about it. The devil, the dragon, he is come down unto you, is what it says. And it is going to bring woe to the people. You know, you think about all the trials and all the things that go on, the plagues and the different things that we've already looked at. But you have to understand that the devil has come down unto you, and he is going to be judged as far as, you know, but this will start some judgments of God that are going to be poured out, the vile judgments, and it is going to be really, really bad on the earth. And woe, but you know, his nasty presence. You know, I think about this, and I think, you know, this specific woe of Satan being cast down again. The heavens rejoice; he's not there, but the earth gets his nasty presence, and so we have his nasty presence followed by the judgment of God. Now, stay with me on this, because this is always true. This is true in all of life. Because Satan, his very presence is to try to get us to sin, is to lead us to sin, is to tempt us with sin. And certainly the Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. And so we often reap woe because we sow sin. You're not going to sow sin and reap joy and happiness. It just doesn't happen with any of us. We know that. And so just the law of sowing and reaping is going to be true. And so Satan comes along, just his presence, his demonic presence and all of that. I mean, he's trying to get us to sin. And so when we sin, we're going to reap what we sow, and that's going to be woe, and it's going to be pain and sorrow and guilt, but the Bible also says the wages of sin is death. And so God's dealing with sin. You not only have the reaping and the sowing, but you also have, God has made it very clear that the wages of sin is death. And therefore, God's going to deal with it. And wherever Satan's presence is, it's going to bring woe. There's going to be marriages failing. There's going to be children's lives messed up. There's going to be people going to jail. There's going to be addictions galore. I mean, any time Satan's presence is over a place, it's just not going to be good. The alcoholic, you know, hey, let's all go out and get a beer, you know, and boy, the world is just, they're so happy with their beer. I mean, you know, you just watch and everything, and yet, come on, we all know people whose lives have been totally ruined, just completely ruined. My own family, my own parents, You know, I believe with all my heart they would have they were married 24 years, and because of alcoholism they got a divorce. They would have been married for many, many years. You know, so the alcoholic, hey boy, I'm having a good time, loses his job, loses his wife, loses his kids. You name it. I mean, it's just a nasty, nasty existence. But then you lose all those things. Well, then judgment. You know, because it comes. And so certainly, I'm just throwing out one example: alcoholism. But obviously, jail because of driving under the influence and. Maybe wrecking and injuring somebody, whatever. I mean, you know, those are the kinds of things that just happen. It is all woe when Satan is present. It's just always going to be that way. There is nothing good. People that worship Satan and they talk about that and these rock concerts where they want to glorify Satan, and I just think, do you understand what you are doing? Kids will try to bring up spirits, do seances and all that kind of stuff. There's just nothing good about it. Absolutely nothing. I think about the fella in Flint that had a job, six-figure job, and he was very, very important in his work, computer job, and the guy got hooked on pornography. And it just took over his life, and pretty soon he was having trouble with his wife and family. Which that's you're hooked on pornography, you're not going to have a good marriage. Hello, it isn't going to happen. You're not going to mess with that, and it not affect you. It isn't going to happen. And this guy, I mean, his wife was going to leave him, and about that time he was so hooked on this stuff, it caused him to actually commit a crime, a sexual crime, and the guy ended up in jail. I mean, you know, he lost his job, lost his family, and then he lost his freedom and went to jail. And you say, oh, yeah, but you know what? Everybody says they can beat it, but you're not going to bring Satan's presence into your world and it not have an effect. Just like here in Revelation, the woe that the dragon brings is very obvious. The heavens rejoice. Boy, the earth and the sea, the devil has come down to us. Woe. Great woe. And so again, hey, let's all have a good time doing our thing. All it brings is woe. People are and we're seeing it in the United States of America as far as the thinking of people today. You know, it's like sinfulness is now kind of the way to go. Nobody's shocked when we hear somebody commits adultery. We're not shocked about it. We don't think anything of it. What amazes me is how many people will listen to somebody who committed adultery as if they have something to say. And I'm not talking about somebody who asks for forgiveness and is trying to do right. I'm talking about people that commit adultery and then get in people's face about, oh, yeah, it's just kind of the way. And Christians even, it's like, well, that's just how it is. And we want to listen to these people. Yeah. But again, it's like we're just blind to the woe that comes. And wow. I mean, I think of so many that are going through so many hard times, it's just all woe. Wherever Satan is, we are so much better to draw nigh unto God. I mean, draw nigh, get close to God, walk with God, and get as far away from Satan and his influence as we possibly can. The woe from the dragon. Number four is the wrath of the dragon. The wrath of the dragon. He is not happy. Not happy at all. Revelation 12 and verse 12. The Bible says this, it says, "For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Now, I'll be honest with you, I think the devil has delighted in his accusing. I think he enjoys accusing. I think he enjoys, look what that Christian did. Look what that person did. Look, now he obviously never wins his accusation when the blood of Jesus is applied. But I'm just saying, I think he's enjoyed that freedom. Now he has been cast out. And the Bible says, when he saw. You see, when he saw. That, the devil has come down when the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth. You know, it's like he looks around and maybe there's a barrier and he can't get to heaven anymore. When he realized it, when he saw it, and he knows, according to the Bible here, that he has a short time. Don't ever think that, you know, the devil knows what the Bible says. In fact, the devil knows the Bible better than a lot of Christians. I mean, and he pays attention to it, and he knows that he has a short time. He knows that, the Bible says. He knows God, and he knows the Bible. And he who was cast out, he who was cast down, he knows these things. It seems strange when we preach, hey folks, we need to know our Bibles. We need to know what God says. We need to know how to fight the battle. We need to know how to pray. We need to know we're going to heaven. I mean, we preach that and talk about, and yet Christians, that's not the most important. You know, sports scores are more important. Now, I'm not against sports scores, but I'm just saying we kind of push it aside like it doesn't matter. When our enemy, Satan, he knows. He knows what's going on. He knows God. He knows, hey, if God has cast me down, he knows there's nothing he can do about it. And now he is dangerous. Now, he was dangerous. He is today. As a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I mean, he was dangerous and is now as he accuses, as he tempts, and as he does all that he says. I mean, understand, he's very dangerous today as he is the prince of the power of the air and he roams the heavens. But in verse 12, when he's cast down, understand, he is now more dangerous because now he's like a caged animal and the people that are being warned here are in the cage. I want you to just think about that. Now, here in verse 12, he's caged up with all humanity and he has the anger, this roaring lion is now the anger of a caged up animal with a whole bunch of victims in the cage. Now, I don't want to be with an angry animal in a cage. I don't want to be in a jungle with an angry animal. But especially, I don't want to be in a cage with one. And the woe is certainly warranted, like a caged animal. Now, think about this. The cage, what is this cage? Let's go ahead and have the ushers come, if they would, and we'll receive our offering. But I want you to just consider the cage that he is in. Number one, a cage to me, it talks about limitations. And the first limitation that I see on him is his limit of space. He now is cast down to the earth. Where he was allowed to just kind of go all over in the heavens, and now he is cast down. He's now limited to the space whereby he can go. He is jerked down from heaven in the battle with Michael and the angels, and he is now cast down. And obviously there is something that is now restraining him from being able to go like he used to go. And so he is limited in his space. He is also limited in his time because the Bible says he has a short time, and he knows he has a short time. Again, I think, and I'll get into this more next week, but I think this is probably the catalyst which is at the middle point of the tribulation in the last half of the 3.5 years. But whatever time this is, Satan knows he has a short time. You know, right now, he doesn't know. He doesn't know when the rapture is going to take place. He doesn't know when the Lord's coming, because we don't know. He doesn't know. We can't know. The Father knows. It's clear in Scripture. Father knows. Satan doesn't know. But he knows that when he's cast down, because he knows this verse and he knows his Bible, he knows when this time comes, he just has a short time. He has a short time. So he's now, oh, you know, you talk about a dangerous, dangerous animal. He has been limited in space. He's limited in time. But he's also limited in his power. And in that reality, he's always been limited in his power. God has always had control. God has control. You know, we have to be reminded of that over and over and over, folks. God is in control. It may not look like it, and it may not look like it in your life. I'm dealing with some things where it's like I do not see how. Okay, you ever been there? I don't see how. It just doesn't seem. But praise the Lord, with God, all things are possible. And he is in control. And he is going to do whatever his will is. And so it's always been that way. Satan has always been limited as far as his power. But here it's brought to his attention big time, because one, he's cast down. I mean, the fighting goes on and he loses. I mean, he is cast down. But here's other ways, okay? His power. Immediately he goes after the woman which brought forth the man-child. Immediately. You know, when he saw that he was cast under, it's almost like, you know, that he's going to, I'll show her. You know, we know that's spiritual Israel, and we understand that. But you know, it's like, I can wipe her out now. I'll kill her. He's been trying to do that all these years, as we know. But notice what happens. To the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. It's kind of like my wife, whenever she has dreams, a lot of times in her dreams, whenever bad people are after her, she flies. How many of you fly? Anybody else fly in your dreams? Oh, several do. All right. Wow, a couple of men fly. Don, you really fly? Do you really? See, I never fly away. I always end up waking up. Praise the Lord. I'm glad, but that's kind of the thing, though. You can just fly away. Can you imagine how angry Satan is when he's persecuting the woman and God gives her wings to fly away? Seriously. You know, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. There again, there's our 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. You see, again, you know, he's limited in his power. Seems like this will be an easy attack. This will be an easy victory, but it's not, because God has limited him by giving a special protection to the woman. And then verse 16 says, verse 15, the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. We'll talk about that later on, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. So here she's in her place of safety, and so the serpent sends a flood. All right, and that could be a literal flood, but I personally think it's some sort of a military operation or something like that. But notice what verse 16 says. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And, oh, can you imagine how angry Satan would be? Can you imagine the rage of the attack, and the, you know, as the reality. Yeah, again, it seems like Satan is cast down to the earth. Whatever he does on the earth, he's gonna devour everything in sight. Seems like it, except for God. Except for God. You know, no matter what happens in our nation, no matter what happens in our lives, you know, there's always that except for God. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Satan does have, the conspiracies and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it is, there's no question about that. It's just, you know, he is the master conspirator. But except for God, you may look like it may look like you're backed in a corner in a situation. It may look like you're about to be swallowed up, except for God. Except for God. And you know, with the Christian, praise the Lord, for except for God. Except for God's power. Except for God's blessing. Except for what God can do. Because he can swallow up the flood. He can give you wings to fly away. He can do all these things, just as he will cast down Satan. And, take great, great comfort in this passage of Scripture that, okay, that day's coming. And it's going to be a wonderful day. And it may be as close as 3.5 years from now, if the rapture took place today. It could be any time. But I'm just saying, but it can be like that in your life anytime. Because God can do anything. And, maybe you feel like there's been a flood poured out at you. And maybe there has. But God can swallow up the flood. Maybe you feel like you're being chased. I mean, you're just being chased down. And God can give you the wings to fly away. And praise the Lord, because he's our God. He will, and he does all the time.